Now, let's return to Becoming Thin Within on TalkZone. Once again, here's your host, Deborah Wright.
Welcome back to Becoming Thin Within. Thank you for joining us today. We just finished talking with Anne Fletcher. She wrote the book Weight Loss Confidential, How Teens Lose Weight and Keep It Off, and What They Wish Parents Knew. And you can find out more about that at annemfletcher.com. You can also go to the Becoming Thin Within website, becomingthinwithin.com, and go to our guest page and then click on her picture, and it will give you her full bio and a link to the Amazon page where you can get the book. It is such a good book. I really got a lot of information.
She has some great advice. And also when I was listening to her, I had those little flashbacks of the kids that did get teased.
Yeah.
And my little brother, he went through what we refer to as his fat stage.
Oh,
I know. Cause my dad was a big guy.
Yeah.
Really tall. And my younger brother went from being, little and cute to overweight. And it was like he had to grow into it basically, but we were so horrible to him.
Yeah.
And he did it on his own. Like I remember back then he was like, all of a sudden my brother didn't ever have a soda or a snack. And, we knew he was doing it, but no one ever talked to him, but it was the teasing. I'm sure it was our teasing.
Well, that is painful. And having been overweight as a child and overweight as a teen, I know, and I remember it very well. I can pick out different times in my life when some teasing meant a lot. I mean, very painfully meant a lot.
Yes.
And other kids would, I remember being mooed at in school, and I remember being followed while they were mooing at me. And ironically, I remember one time when we were in church and, my sister and I, we had a love-hate relationship like most sisters do. We could be fighting one minute, and then the next, we're best of friends.
Right.
And I remember one time we were in church, and she drew a picture of this big, fat person. And then she put fat and then arrows to it, and then put you and circled it and pointed to me. That hurt so much. I got up, and I had to leave because I was crying. Mm. But when several years later, when those kids were mooing at me, she grabbed me, she yelled at them, she marched me to the principal's office, and she said, "You stop this. They are not going to treat her this way. She is my sister. They are hurting her." And she started crying. So, for her to see other people treat me that way,
right,
just devastated her.
Right.
But that's what happens, and that is not motivation to lose weight.
No. And parents, neither are underhanded comments.
From parents.
And I think as a parent, it really is hard to bite your lip.
Yeah.
It really is hard to consciously go, okay, that's not a good thing to say. We all slip up. We all say things. But I like that question of, do you let them just grow out of it?
Yeah.
What do you, it's a hard thing because it's also hard as a parent to watch your kid going through pain.
It is. And that was for, I remember being told, oh, that's just baby fat. You'll grow out of that. I remember being told that. I was in sixth grade thinking I'm going to grow out of this baby fat.
Right.
Because here I am in sixth grade, not really baby fat.
Right.
But there's that fine line. Now, I will say in the book that there is there are a couple places where I go, okay, I get that. I agree with that. And then there are a couple places where I go, yeah, having been an overweight child myself, overweight teen, I don't completely agree with that. At one point, let me find it here. One of the doctors said, okay, that it's on.
Here you go.
That when the kids, when they feel bad about themselves, he's saying they don't want solutions, which I can agree with. Sometimes they don't want to know, okay, we need to go to this place. We need to go this place. They want to hear your feelings. They want to talk about their feelings. They want to talk about what's hurting them. However, this doctor goes on to say that it's better to agree with your kids than, like Anne said, which I agree. You don't want to say, pretend that there's nothing wrong. However, she went so far as to say, parents can also try to be real with their adolescents and agree with them that their bottom is bigger than they'd like it to be, but then point out their assets as well. if my parents would have said, yeah, I know your bottom is bigger than you want to be, I would, you know what I would have heard as a teen? You think I'm fat too.
Yeah.
You don't love me either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a teen and a child, if you agree with me, then you validate my feelings that
right.
might be completely irrational.
Right.
People don't
I understand what she's saying though, because you don't want to give someone a warped image.
Right.
You don't want to say, oh,
you're perfect.
Yes.
Because none of us are.
Right.
Okay, so no, you don't want to say you're perfect. You want to say, you know, I know that you're not happy. I want to help make you happy.
Right.
But then to specifically say, yeah, you got a big butt. I get that. I mean, that was the one thing that...
But your skin is beautiful.
That's right.
And your personality.
That's right. And how many people say, you know, no, what does that mean when you say, oh, but you've got such a pretty face.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So to hear it from your parents, what that does... is that validates the emotion that hearing somebody else say you've got a big butt brings, irrational or irrational, it validates it. So that was the only place where I'd say I, as a parent,
right,
would not say, yes, I know that your thighs are bigger than what you'd like. Because she may not have a problem with her thighs. It might be her arms that she's concerned with. She'd go, what?
Right, wait, I didn't look down there.
Yeah. And so instead of specifically pointing to areas, but yeah, that agreement has to be there, that understanding to say that, yeah, okay. So yeah, I understand that you're not happy, that you have issues. Let's talk about that.
Right.
And get to the root of that, how that's making them feel.
How it makes you feel. Cause let's face it, if you are not absolutely perfect in high school, you're pretty much teased.
Yeah.
They will find something.
Right.
Overweight, underweight.
Well, yeah, because,
you know,
that takes the attention off them.
Exactly.
They're not being teased. And who knows, maybe they're being teased at home. And they're being hurt at home. So I'm going to come here and I'm going to pick on somebody else. And well, you know, let's face it. If you're overweight, that's an easy target, right? I'm not going to know. If I look at you, I'm not going to be able to know what internal struggles that you have. I'm
right.
not going to know what's going on at your house. I don't know if you've got rotten, stinking, messy
exactly.
parents.
Exactly.
And so how am I going to make fun of that? But if you are 50 pounds overweight, I can see that.
Right.
And so it's an easy target for kids. It doesn't make them bad kids. It means that they haven't gotten that information at home to help them understand and deal with their own emotions so that they're not directing them at other people in a negative way.
Right.
And so as parents, we want to make sure that we're treating our children at the way that we want them to treat other people so that they're not the cause. Because it will come around and they will be the victim at some point. And it will turn around to hurt them. So
And not everybody gets to learn their lesson like your sister did, which was a great thing. I mean, it always shows you how much you really loved when your sibling stands up for you in front of somebody else in the house.
Yeah. What happens in the house, I can beat up on my sister, but you can't. Right. You know,
right.
And that was one thing for me because at that moment when all of that was going on, I felt so alone. And here's the thing. What is so, you talk about warped image. I really wasn't that overweight. Maybe 15 pounds could have done it for me. I was not unhealthy, but I wasn't, like you said, perfect. I mean,
right.
I, and in my mind, when I looked in the mirror, I saw a little girl who was 150 pounds overweight. Because that's what I saw, because that's where I was emotionally. And the other kids knew that. That was a sensitive point for me.
Well, let me ask you this. How did your parents approach it? And how did you wish they would approach it?
Well, they pretty much did what they're saying in the book. I had to take ownership for it.
Right.
It had to be my decision. But any time it was, when I said, I want to go to this program or I want to buy these tapes, they were there. They said, okay, let's get some videos. And my mom would do some with me. She would encourage. If we want to join a weight loss program, I'll do it with you, or you can go by yourself, whatever you want to do. But there was never any, you really should do something about this, don't you think? But if I said something, they were supportive. And they never said, I agree, you've got a big butt. they never said, I know that your hips are wider than you'd like. Seriously, if they would have said that, they could have said it sweet as pie.
Right.
I would have heard, you agree with me, I'm too fat. Nobody should love me,
right.
so fat.
Right.
That's what teens hear. And so I just think that's a slippery slope that you don't want to go down. And yeah, if you tell them all of their wonderful assets if you don't say, you know, like you said, if you say it, but you've got beautiful skin and you've got this wonderful hair, if you don't say, and you've got a nice body, that's what they're waiting to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they don't hear that, by omission, you're admitting it.
Yeah. It's always, I find parents always do that. Oh, but honey, you have so many other things going for you.
Yeah. And what you want to do is say those things when we're not in a moment of negativity, when we're not coming and saying, I'm hurt, I'm upset. Do it when you're going for a walk. You have such pretty hair.
Yes.
Do it when we're not so raw from the pain of being overweight. Show them all of their fine points, which it talks about in the book. You know, tell them about their assets, but don't use it as a way to counter in that moment. And this is, you know, my opinion.
Right. It's also setting an example for the whole family. You can't take one kid out of the group and make them eat, here's your dinner, and here's the rest of the family's dinner.
And, right.
I admit, one of my best friends did that with one of her daughters. It was like, the carrots are a great choice, but don't dip them in that ranch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was always like there was always something being taken away from this child.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she became obsessed with food because everything was always being taken away.
Right, right. And as they're growing up, as long as they know and they understand what are good, healthy choices and what isn't, then they'll know when it comes time for them to take ownership, they'll know.
Right.
They'll know what I need to do. And you know, what she was saying about having them help with the dinner, with the preparation, with the healthy food, that can start, I mean, it starts now with Annabelle.
Oh, yeah.
That starts very early on. Give them choices. Early on.
And our kids are far more educated than we were. And you know what? Let's face it. I think everybody pretty much knows at this point the do's and the don'ts. I mean,
right.
We know what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So nobody needs to be nagged.
No, that's right. And if your teen is ready and they come and they say, I want to do something about this, and they don't know, they'll ask. They'll
right.
say, I'm not even sure what's a good choice. And then you say, well, if that's something you want me to help you with, I would be happy to.
Yes.
But like she said, you have to be ready. But tell them all of their positive qualities and traits randomly throughout the day so that they're hearing from you that they're great people, not just when they're sad, but when they're happy too.
Right.
And then so that when that conversation comes up and they are ready to talk, you can really focus on those feelings and those emotions and where they're coming from. What can I do to help you? And if they don't know, they don't know. That's okay.
Right.
Then we don't have to have an answer right now. We don't
right.
have to figure it out right now. We'll figure it out together. And it may take some time, but we'll figure it out. And so in the book too, they were talking about, the 10 reasons, because one of the questions was reasons that they gained weight. And again, we're talking about Weight Loss Confidential by Anne Fletcher. And, what's interesting is they said snacking too much and a bunch of different reasons in there. But what I found when I look back at that is a lot of them really come from emotional reasons. If you're snacking and it's like she was saying, one had said, mindless versus mindful
right.
eating, then you're eating for reasons other than hunger. You're eating for reasons other than needing that nutrition. What are those reasons?
Right.
And it's likely emotional. I'm bored. I'm stressed.
I was going to say boredom's probably high on the list for teens.
But emotional causes ranked number 5.
Right.
And so that one question I'd asked her, the identification for them to be able to recognize that a lot of what they're doing is emotional. They're getting there. They're making those emotional
right.
changes. But that's one place where I think where we can work with our teens, work with our children and say, okay, there are a lot of reasons that you're using the food. We know not to snack so much. We know we need to cut down all those tangible things, working out more, activity,
right.
exercise. But we have to let them see that you're snacking too much, which was the reason number 1. Why? It's got to
Why?
Be an emotional reason if it's not for nutrition. Portion size is too large. Why are you eating and you're no longer hungry? You know, what's going on? Are you trying to show somebody else at the table up? Are you trying to tell your mom I love you by eating all of your food? Because mom always says, oh, you're
right.
such a good eater.
Right.
That makes me so happy. Well, okay, if I want to make you happy, I eat. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we need to identify that. Not enough exercise. Why don't you think you're good enough to get up and go work out?
Right.
And so I just thought that was interesting that they didn't see those as emotional reasons. The top four reasons all, however, can be backed into emotional causes, which, you know, that's something that right. if you're wanting to look at and work with your teen, then you, that needs to
note,
be addressed.
Yeah, that's a note to parents, too, because you can't solve things. I had one overweight client, and her mother took so much responsibility. It's all my fault she's overweight.
Yeah.
It's all my fault, and I feel so guilty, because when she saw her child upset, it was like, oh, honey, come here and look what I made, and we're going to eat, and the family's going to sit down together, and it was always about that.
Right, yeah, and it becomes, and a lot of things become about the food. And so we have to take a quick break, but we will come back, and we'll talk more about this. Such a huge topic, so we'll talk more about this right after this break, Becoming Thin Within.
Is facing the same old boring gym or Stairmaster day after day keeping you from reaching your fitness goals? And listen up, because Velocity Sports Performance has everything for everybody in the family and is the ultimate training facility that offers you a chance to be taught by world-class performance coaches who have worked with professionals and Olympic-level athletes. You'll be training at the same place the professionals do, or maybe even next to one. Whether you want to improve your game or join a boot camp to lose some weight and tone up, this is your answer. No boring treadmill day after day here, and no two sessions are alike. Velocity also offers training programs for anyone and everyone, regardless of age, gender, skill level, or athletic or fitness goals. Their core programs are designed for youth, middle school, high school, and elite athletes, as well as adults and teens. Training in small groups ensures maximum one-on-one attention. Call 615-661-8771. That's 615-661-8771. Or go to velocitysp.com/coolspring. That's velocitysp.com/coolspring to get your tour and start your free trial today.
What's the point?
Point 3 Media is a boutique advertising and production company that actually listens to its clients first. Then we go to work, developing the right message and media strategy.
From concept to completion, we're driven to deliver smart creative that not only looks good, but hits the target and sells the message.
Our clients count on us to not only do our homework, to research and understand their marketing and advertising needs. They count on us to come with good ideas and then execute those ideas. And that's exactly what we do.
Otherwise, what's the point? Original concepts, script writing, graphic design, campaign themes, original music, on-camera talent, animated characters, landscapes, and logos in 2 and 3D, live-action film and video, media planning and placement, and an attitude that defies convention and says, yeah, we can make that happen. Point 3 Media is at your service.
Interested? Learn more about how we can brand your business at point3media.com.